I'm Shannon Spake with Fox Sports and NASCAR Race Hub. You are on the road with Dane on WGN. No left turns here, guys.
If you stop me up, 720
WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland, and on the line with us occasionally. You'll see her at Soldier Field on the sidelines as part of that great team covering big games in the NFL for Fox. But fans know and love her, and of course, so many listeners love her as the host of NASCAR race coverage for Fox and the co-host of Race Hub on FS1, where you see her 6 p.m. Eastern Time and 5 p.m. Central here in Chicago. The one and only Shannon Spake, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Every time I come on, my father lives in Indiana, and he listens to your show all the time, and he's always like, my friends heard you on Dane's show, so I'm always thrilled to come on the show and of course, make my father and his friends proud.
So, big shout-out to Team Spake, or
yeah, there you go.
Team Shannon, obviously. They're supporting you. But so here's the thing is, you know, it is that time of year. You guys are 9 races in. You're in the new studio, and we talked about it beforehand, you know, with obviously people who've been in and around Race Hub and hosting it and yourself for many years, so it's different. A lot of things that are different. On the visual side, for the fan side, it's amazing, right? But working it and working with some of those new team members, how's it been so far?
It has been great. I think I told you this before. One of the things that from our aspect in terms of the studio is that we don't actually get to be in all of these really cool things. We're as all of you guys know, we're sitting on a green screen. And so it's really cool to sit down and look at what is behind us, but we're not physically in any of those things. And it's funny because I'll sit home on a Friday and I'll watch our Fast Friday coverage with Sarah or Lindsay Zarniak, and I will be amazed at what I'm seeing. I know that they're sitting in a green room. I probably spend more time in that room than I do my own house, but I still am blown away at the stuff that we see. And it every honestly, like each and every week, because we're still learning the set and the capabilities that we have. I feel like every week we're kind of throwing something new out there, like whether it be the track map or it be the actual track itself or inside the race cars. It's so awesome what we're able to bring to the fans at home with this new studio. And as far as our new folks that are on the coverage, it's been great. I've had so much fun with Jamie McMurray and Larry McReynolds and Bobby Labonte on Sundays. And of course, Jamie getting added to the Saturday pre-race coverage for the Xfinity Series. It's been awesome. Of course, everyone, it takes a couple of weeks to build chemistry and kind of trust and get that ball rolling. But I feel like it really is rolling, and I feel like it's been a lot of fun, and it's a strong, all of these guys and girls are just a strong addition to our coverage.
Yeah, well, and they all add just the things that you'd hope that they would, right? You know, that perspective from being a recent driver and kind of the trials and tribulations and things. And of course, you know, you got Bobby Labonte and you got Larry, you know, and they've got, you know, the world of wisdom when it comes to racing and all of those different elements that are built into it. But yeah, with that, you can do like the different paint schemes. We saw some of that and so many things you could do on the graphics. I was wondering, you know, because for like Infinity War and for Marvel Avengers, and instead of talking to Rocket the Raccoon, you know, they've got like a tennis ball on on a stick. Do you guys have like things like, make sure you look over here? Do you have those things in there?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. A lot of times if there are things that are going to be on the set behind us and they want us to kind of motion to it, we'll have to know. A lot of times it's over the opposite shoulder. And then, like, you know, when we do our next level stuff, which is when we kind of go inside the race cars or break down specific parts of the race, we have this huge monitor that's on the wall that's showing everything that's happening on this iPad that we have in front of us. And so a lot of times you have to gesture to that wall, and yeah, it's not really there. So there's a lot of secrets, but it's so cool, some of the stuff that we have and the things that we're doing.
Well, and you mentioned kind of working in some of the new guys, and some of them, you know, they've been in and around broadcasting situations their entire career, but on the other side of it, and it is totally different. And you as a seasoned professional veteran broadcaster in a bunch of different ways, and as the it says co-host, but really you're like the lead host. You know, you have to kind of wrangle all of those situations and time frames, and it isn't always that easy. You know, we talked with Ricky Craven before about his kind of learning curve when he first got into doing some of the TV side, and it isn't something that necessarily comes completely naturally, right? There's no substitute for experience. How easy is it, right, especially with people that aren't maybe used to doing it, to kind of keep it with the flow, right, so people are watching it and it's entertaining and informational, but kind of keeping everybody sort of on track?
Yeah, that's I think it's easy. These guys make it really so easy for me. Larry has been doing this forever. Larry McReynolds. Jamie is sort of the new guy to the scene, but he's so easygoing and so easy to work with and well prepared. I mean, he's a perfectionist that it just seems it's really comfortable. And we all really we really enjoy each other's company, even when the camera is not on, when we're away from the camera. And we do. I've known Jamie McMurray since 2004 or 5 when I started covering the series. He's always been someone who I've considered a friend in the garage. So it is truly like a bunch of friends sitting up there talking about a sport that they really enjoy.
Yeah. Okay. So when it comes to the tracks and it comes to, you know, sort of the, you know, we always say it all the time that as much as the drivers are, like sometimes the tracks are as big as celebrities as the drivers themselves. And of course, Talladega, one of the very biggest, and everybody, not only from the fans and the viewers, and I'm sure on the broadcasting side too, the drivers, everybody looks forward to it, wants to do well. There's so much excitement built into it, the history and everything like that. So when you go to a place like Dover, right, which is so different, you know, that's one of the great things about NASCAR is it's kind of like it's a nationwide kind of road trip tour. You know, it's so different as far as the communities, maybe the hype and the background and everything that goes on. What are your thoughts as far as Dover? Not necessarily specifically what's on the track, but just, you know, kind of building in the kind of unique excitement that happens at the Monster Mile.
So Talladega is my favorite racetrack on the circuit for so many different reasons. I love going to that place. If I didn't have that track as my favorite, I'd always tell people that I really like tracks where all the action's kind of laid out in front of you. I love Bristol. I love Martinsville. I love Richmond for that reason. And I love Dover for that reason. And Dover is a very hard racetrack for these guys. It's super, super fast. There's a pedestrian bridge that goes over the track at Dover. And so you can stand there and watch these cars come through one of the turns. And a lot of drivers will talk about the fall off, like how much you drop from one turn to the next, that it's almost like a roller coaster ride in terms of dropping. And you can literally see that when you're going over this pedestrian crossover. It's loud. There's a lot of metal seating, and so the metal kind of sends that piercing kind of sound. So it's super loud, and it is a fun track to be at and a fun track to watch because it is so fast. And speeds are going to be a lot faster this weekend because of this new aero platform that we have. Drivers are expecting things to be very, very fast. We just had Brad Keselowski in here today. He's on the show today, and he said he thinks his track record that he currently holds is in jeopardy in the race, not only in qualifying in the race. So I think it's going to be a lot faster, which is just really going to add to the elements that you already experience when you're at Dover.
Well, you look at Team Penske and those guys kind of just picking up where they left off at the end of the season, doing well, kind of, you know, just really hitting their stride and just continuing it. Now, do you think it's because that's really what it is? Whatever they had dialed in, they just were able to kind of carry it over in 2019? Or do you think it's maybe adding to what it is that they can do in the success because of the changes with the cars?
Yeah, they really started to hit on something in the second half of last year. You know, when you think about what Brad did in terms of winning Darlington and Indy, and then, of course, Joey going on to do what he did in the championship. I mean, Ford as a whole, but primarily those Penske guys. I think the only fear that a lot of people have is it's a really long season. I mean, you saw Kevin Harvick get off to such a strong start last year, and then they haven't won since the middle of last season or towards the end of last season. So they're still looking for that. And I think that it comes in ebbs and flows, and that will certainly at some point, I'm sure, affect the Penske group. They are riding high right now, and they are enjoying the ride, and I don't think that's going to fall off anytime soon, but that's always a fear in NASCAR because of the length of the season and because of how things change and other teams catching up.
Well, you look at the big three, and they're still in there in the mix, and Kyle Busch still as good as ever, but you're seeing some of these other teams, like we said, kind of get up there and kind of, you know, staking out some territory to begin with, and we've talked over the years about, you know, the next kind of generation of personalities, right, to kind of take the place of so many great ones who've stepped away from the track over the past few years. And Chase Elliott, you know, with all of the pedigree and the resume and all that kind of stuff, is really, he's always been good, but now he seems to be really, really coming into his own.
Yeah, he is the most popular driver. He's taken over the reins for Dale Earnhardt, for Dale Earnhardt Jr. So it is great to have him in victory lane because that's what the fans love him. And it's good when the sport's most popular driver is winning races. And I think as a whole, it's good. I asked this question last week, like, who was this win bigger for, Chase, Hendrick, or Chevy? Because, of course, we've documented the Hendrick struggles,
right?
I mean, over and over and over again. And certainly Chevy has been winless for so long, since October of last season. So I think it was big across the board because I do think Chevy is starting to kind of get into their own. Chase has sort of been leading the way. I think Kyle Kyle Larson, once he gets this bad luck off of his off of his back, I really think that he'll be a guy as well. And Kurt making the move over to Ganassi, he has had speed all season long, and it's just a matter of time before he gets it rolling too. So I think it's a it's not only a big win in terms of the fan base because it is the last name Elliott. I think it's also big to have another manufacturer and another group sort of making a push.
Yeah, and you mentioned Kurt Busch, and real quick on him, because he's all the talent in the world. He's got all that, but he always is not necessarily personality-wise or friction or contract or whatever it is. You know, he kind of moves around, but is always successful wherever he goes. So, you know, it isn't just the equipment. He's got all of that talent. Do you think, especially, well, even with all of the success that Stuart Haas has had at every level, right, each and every car is doing pretty well, do you think he's in a better place now, like when you kind of add up all of those factors?
That's hard. That's a hard question because Kurt is, I really think Kurt could win anywhere that you go.
Right.
I think Stuart Haas Racing, I mean, obviously the talent and the fact that Tony is the boss over there who was in the race car. I don't know. I really don't think that there's a team that Kurt couldn't go to and he wouldn't win. I think anywhere he goes because of his enormous level of talent and skill, he would have success.
And you know he's got to be motivated too now, right, just to kind of prove all of those things that you've just said that we all know, that he can win anywhere, and you know he's going to do that. So Race Hub, and it is it's Monday through Thursday, and it's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central Time here in Chicago. Shannon Spake is there front and center, and dressed the best, and you do so much of the social media side. Like, what do you have, like a stylist or anything? Everybody else is, I think you've maybe had everybody kind of step up their game. Everybody looks very nice, and they're all very well-dressed, but you're always kind of showing off the new outfits for the fans.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of doing that, to be completely honest with you, but it's part of the deal, you know. It is part of the deal to kind of, you know, the designers and those types of things to show things off. We do have a stylist that's come on board, so we do have someone that works with us to kind of, you know, it's a visual medium, television is, and right. So that's an important aspect of it as well. So thank you. I honestly, I love my hair and makeup girls, but sitting in their chairs for an hour and a half a day is probably the hardest part of my day. I feel like sometimes they have to strap me down because I never want to sit still. And if I could go out there with sneakers and my hair in a ponytail on the set, I certainly would take advantage of that.
All right. Well, noted. I guess, you know, trying to kind of build in extra elements, right? And yeah, you definitely pull it off. So that's great. Well, when it comes to dressing up, sometimes you're as comfortable and successful in just like like a tank top and shorts with a paper number stuck to you. And you've got some things coming up on the sports side. Always have been really into whether it's the Ironman or the triathlons or marathons. And you've got a couple cool things coming up, including some kind of higher purposes for some good causes.
I do. So last year, I'm an Ironman Foundation athlete, and I'm also an Ironman athlete. I'm actually competing in two half Ironmans this season as I get ready for the Chicago Marathon, which I'm going to do at the end of this year as well,
nice.
Which I cannot wait to do. But last year, to raise money for the foundation and for charity, which we give back to the communities where we race in, we go in, we build homes for people who have been devastated by either wildfires or hurricanes. We do things with kids in inner cities, build them bikes, teach them how to surf in certain communities. But last year I did an auction. So I asked friends in the college football, college basketball, NFL, and NASCAR world to give me signed items, and I auctioned them off. And I ended up raising $14,000 last year for the Ironman Foundation.
Wow.
And so I have another auction coming up this year. I'm going to launch it on May 16th, which is a Thursday, the Thursday before the All-Star race. And so I think I have up to 40 items. I just got a huge hood signed by all the Stuart Haas Racing guys.
Nice.
Chase Elliott gave me some sheet metal signed. I have footballs from Chris Spielman and Rondé Barber and Kirby Smart. I have basketballs from John Calipari, Coach K, Bill Self. I have books. I have a couple of my race kits, a couple of my Ironman race kits. I'm going to auction off tickets to races, to the Roval, any race at NASCAR. I have so much stuff that I've been collecting over the last 12 months, and I'm really excited about raising money for a foundation that means so, so much to me.
Oh, that's great. Great stuff and great opportunities for people to get kind of these one-of-a-kind items to add to their collection.
Absolutely.
And do some good at the same time. So give the information or website. People can see all the stuff, bid on all the stuff, get in and support it.
Yeah, you can go to my Twitter page or my Instagram page, Shannon Spake. Those are both of them. And the link to the online auction is on there. It's an eBay online auction. And so just click on the link. And like I said, on May 16th at 8 a.m. is when it will launch. I will be doing radio interviews leading up to the launch of the auction, as well as the week after, kind of promoting this, letting people know. I'll also be posting stuff on social media over and over and over again to kind of remind people where to go and some of the items that I have. There's a lot of items that are going to be on this auction.
Yeah, if we get a little bit closer, we'll definitely mention it a bunch of times. Of course, we'll mention it today, and we'll have links up at WGNradio.com as well. So we'll let you get back to it, because it's the grind, right? You're getting out there creating entertainment, filling us in on all the latest things with Race Hub. And thanks, Shannon, for jumping on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys are always great to chat with.